Hey there, Mike Stelzner coming to you with a fascinating update you might not be familiar with. Did you know that Social Media Examiner can deliver all the marketing training, news, and trends, insights that you need into your inbox 3 days a week when you sign up for our newsletter, and it's completely free? Simply visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates and take your marketing to the next level.
Welcome to the Marketing Agency Show, where we explore solutions to the biggest challenges faced by agencies.
Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for joining me for the Marketing Agency Show, brought to you by Social Media Examiner. I'm your host, Brooke Sellis, and this is the show for agency owners and agency marketers. We explore the topics that no one else is talking about, so pull up the seat to the table and let's have a great conversation. Today, I'll be joined by Instagram expert Jen Herman. Also, if you're new to this podcast, be sure to follow the show so you don't miss any of our future content. Let's transition over to this week's guest, Jen.
To help explore the frontier of working at and growing agencies, here is this week's expert guide.
Hey, y'all. Today, I am super duper thrilled to be joined by my longtime friend, Jen Herman. If you don't know Jen, she is a social media consultant, speaker, and globally recognized Instagram expert. She is a sought after an international speaker, providing tips, resources, and training for organizations of all sizes that need to structure their social media strategies. And I probably should give a warning for this episode that because we have been friends for so long, it might turn into a little bit of a giggle fest. Jen, welcome to the show. I mean, I have to warn people because this is like literally, so we literally have known each other for 12 plus years since we both got started, forever. And when we're together, like in person, in real life, this is just how we are together. We just giggle and have the best time and chit chat and gossip and spill the tea. And it's always so much fun. And if you haven't seen Jen on stage, or if you're looking for a very alive, bigger than life speaker, hire Jen because she's great.
Yay.
Was that the best intro ever or what?
I know. I'm like, I love this hype. I'm just going to bring you with me everywhere.
Just be your hype woman. New job. No, but seriously, we're going to talk today about the weirdness, the coolness, the everything of what you do with Jen's Trends, because I'm sure a lot of people who are listening have heard of Jen's Trends. They know you as this Instagram expert, but what they may not know is that you have had and still have a full-time job while also running Jen's Trends.
Yes. And traveling the world and running this business that everybody knows as a brand. But yes, I have a full-time day job, 40 hours a week.
It's nuts. So before we get into all that, tell everybody, how did you get your start with Jen's Trends?
It was a total fluke accident type situation. I was with my day job. So we're a military contract company. So I work with all primarily military. We deal with military aircraft. These are the types of people who do not share information with the world. But we had to embrace this little thing called social media. So we were Facebook and LinkedIn, and we still are. But it was very challenging to get them to understand, well, we have to share information. We have to share photos. We have to share stories. We have to like talk about what we do. And they were like, we don't do these things. And so having overcome these challenges and going through this, I was like, I really, A, found out how much I liked working in social media, but B, was like, if I can help them do this, I can probably help others. So I started this little blog on a free WordPress site. I didn't even own the domain. It was like jenstrends.wordpress.com. And it was a total hobby blog. It was just like no schedule, no strategy. I was just like creating content randomly to just share this information as a hobby because I just wanted to get the information out there. And then it evolved into the world of Instagram, and then it evolved into, you know, oh, I need a strategy, and now it's a business. But yeah, it was a total, like, just hobby blog to start.
Which is nuts. And you, correct me if I'm wrong, you're 12 years old now? Jen's Trend, not you.
Yeah, I'm 12.
She's a savant, you guys. I'm a digital savant.
11. It was 11 years
ago. 11. So how Jen and I met was really soon into that like first year of blogging for Jen's Trends. It was my first year. We turned 12. So I had just gotten started too. We started writing for the Social Solutions Collective.
Yes.
which is just wild to say. And we talked about this on the past with Doreen, who was also part of that. So there's still a group of us who are still friends who all wrote for this blog. Mike Alton
did, yeah.
Bananas to think about how far we've come, how long ago that was, and like what we're all doing now, right?
But and how we've all stayed, like not all of us, a few of the people from the collective did leave and kind of have left social media as a space, but a lot of us are still very active in this industry and still connect at conferences and have stayed in touch, all because we were in this group like a decade ago.
1,000 years ago. Yeah. Hence the giggle warning, right? Like it's just one of those things. So tell everybody this, what kind of clients do you serve as Jen's Trends for your agency?
So it varies. I work primarily with small businesses or entrepreneurs. That's typically who I work with the most, but I've worked with organizations of all sizes, from massive enterprises, international enterprises, to national organizations. Typically, when someone consults with me one-on-one, it's usually more of like a small business. I do a lot with real estate. I do a lot with companies in the B2B space who are like, I don't know how to do this. And no one's really got what I want. And you're there. You're the person I want. So I do a lot in the B2B and the real estate space, but I've worked with like a trucking company. I've worked with a SaaS company. I've worked with, you know, all sorts of different organizations, a cell phone company even years ago, just to help them figure out what primarily the Instagram strategy looks like. I used to do social media in general. Now I obviously am much more tied into the Instagram side. So if people want to know how to actually use Instagram to grow their business, how to be strategic, how to be effective with it, I'm your girl.
Yes, you are. I mean, you're my go-to source for Instagram too. And I work in social media. So, okay. And this is real. We often talk about this when we do see each other, but how do you manage to be a mom, have a full-time job with a very serious job, by the way, to running Jen's Trends, but then also, like you said, I mean, you're like all, you're getting booked to speak all over the globe.
Yes.
How do you do all of that?
It's been long enough that they kind of let me do what I need to do. There are limitations. Like I can't take 3 speaking gigs in a month, right? So like if I book a speaking gig in February, chances are I'm not doing another one. Because I can't be like, oh, I'm taking vacation this week. Oh, I'm taking vacation again next week. Oh, I'm taking vacation. They're going to be like, Jen, we need you here. So there are boundaries to how many things I can do within the confines of I have a day job. But, you know, I have vacation time. So I do get to use that and then go travel to speak at a conference. And I've been doing this for so long that like when I started, it was very like, well, this cannot be a conflict of interest and you cannot interfere with your time at our company and you can't do this. And I was like, I know, but I'd been doing it for almost a year before they found out about it. So I kind of was already like, I had the proof was in the pudding. Like I knew I could do it. Now it's been 11 years. I've been at my day job for 14 or something. It's been a long time. So they know me, right? Like they know what I'm capable of. They know I'm going to do my job. They know that what I do is not going to impede with my day-to-day function of my job. But on top of it, you know, they know that they have the world's best expert working in-house. Like they have the advantage of a marketing expert in-house on staff that when they want to do these things, they don't have to go out and hire a consultant because I'm literally on the payroll. So there is an advantage to it, but it did take some time for them to build the trust that I was not going to jeopardize my job. And for them to realize that, again, it wasn't like I did this to pull the ripcord and quit the day job. I live in Southern California. It is not cheap. I am a single mom. I've been divorced since my daughter was basically a year old. And I had to pay all the alimony and child support. So I needed to be a two-income household. And so I needed a full-time, well-paying, good job. And I needed a very successful side business to sustain all the things that I wanted to maintain in my life. So it was never an option of not. Like it was like, I will do both. I will figure out how to make it work. And 11 years later, I'm still doing it. So I did something right.
Shout out to all you single moms out there. My mom was a single mom and it is beyond words what a single mother will do for her children to make it work. So kudos to you. And if you're listening and you're a single mom, keep listening because we're going to talk about all kinds of good things, but also give yourself a minute and just, you know, clap, pat, snaps, give yourself all the kudos because it's really amazing what single moms do. So answer me this. You have to be a master of time management.
Yes.
Okay. So how do you, like, what does that look like in your world when you're figuring out how to do two things at once?
I live and die by a calendar. Like, I tell people, if it's not on my calendar, it won't happen, because I live and die by my calendar. I mean, I will book in, like, whatever it is. Like, if I'm going to go for a walk with a friend, I put it on my calendar, because otherwise I will start working and then she'll call me and be like, Jen, I'm sitting here waiting. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot. Like, so I have to have it on my calendar. But that being said, it is very, there is no like perfect balance, right? Like, some weeks we just are tapped out and exhausted and we can't put in the 4 extra hours that night. And some weeks I can work until midnight and not even bat an eyelash. So it is a matter of, like, I've had to learn my rhythms. I've had to learn my ebbs and flows. I have to know, like, typically in the past, I've always taken December off of Jen's Trends. I basically wouldn't work on Jen's Trends in December because I wanted to do all the holiday stuff. I want to be with my daughter. I want to be able to enjoy the fun things that we like to do. And I can't do that and do these two other big things. So it is having to learn to make those commitments to what is the priority this week, this month, and then aligning things within that. It's also learning to give yourself a whole lot of grace, because there are days where I'm like, I can fire off 800 things in a day. And there are some days where I'm eating peanut butter and jelly for dinner like my kid, because there is just no way I'm getting through the day. And you can't, like, you can't be on 100% every single day. You need to give rest. And again, after all these years, I've learned what works for me. But early on, it was a lot of trial and error. It was a lot of figuring out, like, okay, when my daughter goes to sleep, I could put in an hour and a half of work and get this much done. Or back when I didn't have her 100% when she was with her dad, I would just work. Like, when she was not here, I would work until 2 o'clock in the morning, because that was when I could be productive. And then that way I could still give her my time when she was with me. So it evolves. And there's, you know, there's plenty of times where I do not get out the emails that I should have. And I am running late on getting those slides in on a deadline. But it is mapping it out, right? Like, it's like being like, okay, if I have slides due on the 15th, I know I need to start them on like the 9th. And I put it on my calendar. This is when it's due. And I will block off time that says work on slides today. Because otherwise it'll be the 15th and I'm going,
It's so true, though. I mean, I'm the same way. Like, I put stuff in my calendar and I'll block off the whole day. But then I'm my own worst enemy, because I'm like, oh, well, I know I blocked off the whole day because my slides are due tomorrow, but I'll take this call or I'll do this thing. And then, yeah, it never works out. But it sounds to me, what I heard you say, it was not just time management, but it was kind of like setting boundaries, but also just knowing yourself, like what you're capable of, and listening to your body and going, okay, it's not going to happen this week. Or, hey, you know what? I feel good. Like, let's just get this done.
Yeah. Power through. Or like you said, like, if you know you've blocked 4 hours of time, but you're like, okay, if I'm just going to sit around and watch The Bachelor tonight and lose 2 hours of work, I know I can make it up on Friday.
Wait, The Bachelor's 2 hours long?
Yes.
Okay, I don't watch The Bachelor.
2 hours every Monday, girl.
Do not call her during this time. Okay, next question, which I know every time we see each other, these are basically all the questions I have for you when we see each other. But, like, how do you manage to grow to where you've grown while ensuring it's a side hustle? Like, at what point are you like, it's too big to carry both?
Well, I had the advantage that a lot of businesses don't have when they start, which is that I had the day job. I had income. I didn't need, at the time I started Jen's Trends, I was still married. I didn't have a kid. I didn't need the money. It was the hobby. And so I was able to build a brand without chasing clients. I was able to say, I want to get on stages. I want to get on podcasts. I want to be the name that people know. And I didn't have to chase clients to get there. So I could put all my time and energy into brand awareness and brand building. That was my mission. And so I was able to build this brand relatively quickly. Also, it was a catalytic time where Instagram was gaining momentum and no one else was actively talking about it. There was only two or three other really well-known names for years. And so it was kind of like, it was an easy insert into the industry. But once I built the brand, then I went after clients. And so at that point, because I had the brand recognition, I'd been on stage, I had this, I could be selective about my clients. I could charge more. You know, I wasn't coming in being like, okay, for $50 an hour. I was like, honey, $300 an hour if you want me. So I was able to start higher when I actually started taking on clients. And that helped to allow me to build the business to where I wanted to go. Now, of course, it didn't happen overnight. And at the time, my now ex-husband was like, you're spending a lot of time on this. You're ignoring me. You're never around. And there's no revenue coming in. Like, what's the purpose? Like, there was a lot of pushback because I wasn't making money, but I was investing hours a day into this brand. So you do have to, again, make those concessions. If you're going to start with brand awareness, you have to be committed to the investment of your resources, even if that's just your time, and realize there's no revenue coming in for at least probably 12 to 18 months. Like, you don't build a brand overnight and start making money. That's not how this works. So it took time. And even then, it was like a little here and there trickle. It was like, oh, a couple hundred dollars here. And here's a free podcast opportunity. Here's a free speaking opportunity. Everything was pro bono. I wasn't getting paid. So that kind of evolved from there. And then now that it's gotten to be where it is, I have people that help. So I have the revenue and I have a VA. I have a web team, like, and they help me manage my membership so that, you know, when people come into the membership, if there's tech support, I can send them over to Justin. Like, if I need our weekly or our monthly emails that go out for the newsletter for our schedules, my VA handles that. So I can still do what I do as Jen in Jen's Trends, but I'm not spending my days doing as much of the behind the scenes while I need to be working at my day job and doing that. So I've learned over time to release control to other people that I trust.
Yeah. So that was going to lead me into my next question, which you kind of answered, but tell me more about how you delegate and who is on the team. So I'm glad that you said, like, because I was going to be like, wait, do you have no one? Is it really just you? Okay. So who is the team and what do they do?
So I have two, well, I guess technically three, but two people primarily that work with me. So I have my VA, Allie. She pitches me for conferences and she does, you know, email communication stuff for me. So she does a lot of that where her and I will work in conjunction, but she's doing all of that administrative task work. She will also manage my email for me. She'll go into my email, not as much. We've gotten to a really good balance in my email, knock on wood, but she'll go in there or I can voice message her and be like, Allie, can you pop into my email and reply to so-and-so and just say da 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 da. So I can send her a voice note while I'm driving or while I'm on my lunch break or while I'm at pick up from school. But she then goes and writes the email so that I don't have to sit behind my desk doing these administrative tasks. So she's a big, big help. And then I have Justin on more of the website. So he built my website. They've built all, like, every landing page, every purchase page, everything is all connected through him. And so if I have a new blog post, I email him and he uploads it all for me. So I just write it in Word and he does all the website formatting and the photo inserts and the links. And he will format it and put it in there. If there's anything for the membership, you know, if I need coupon codes, I need anything done, we're in the process of building a landing page right now for a new thing that I'm working on. And so he builds all the back end and makes the Stripe account connect to the landing page and connect to the email sequence. So I just say, make these things do this. And he makes them do it. It's great. So they're my two dominant resources.
Yeah, I love that. I have someone who does web stuff, but I was like, oh man, I need someone who just takes my Word document and, like, yes, does the photo and the link stuff. Oh God, that would save so much time.
I know.
Okay. Look, I'm learning something even though we've been friends for like 12 years. So see, this is why this podcast is so good.
Did you know that we can deliver awesome marketing info directly into your inbox? Simply subscribe to our weekly newsletter that comes out 3 days a week. You won't miss any of the updates going on in the world of social marketing. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/get updates.
Okay, so in the beginning you told us, like, hey, you were motivated to continue to have both income streams because you're a single mom and where you live in California is really expensive. Is that still the motivation today or has that changed?
It's definitely still the motivation. I run in this vicious cycle of, like, I can't quit the day job until I make more money, but I can't make more money until I quit the day job. Like, I'm in this cycle. And, you know, in all reality, at some point, will I quit the day job? Sure. I've been there for 14 years. I never plan on being there for more than five, like, but I'm still there. So at some point in the future, it could probably happen, but I don't know when. And it was one of those things where it was like, you know, I went through the divorce and all the stuff that came with that. And then it was like, and then we had COVID, all the stuff that came with that. Like, so there's been all these things where I'm like, I'm still super grateful to have that day job. And I'm one of those few people who has the grass on both sides of the fence. Like, it's not the, oh, I'm working for myself and I have all these stresses. I wish I had the day job. It's not like I'm at the day job saying, oh, I hate everything about a day job. I wish I had my own business. I really get the best of both worlds. So it's good. And so there's no real push for me to change status quo, because right now I do have so many benefits of the day job. I have the guaranteed salary. I have benefits, which are, my benefits are 100% paid for and my daughter's are 50% paid for. So if I quit the day job, I gotta go pay for those. Like, there's a lot of added expenses when and if I do leave to go out on my own. So of course, like, there's days where I wish that my side business was bigger. I wish that I was at, you know, that stage where I had a team of 10 and I was in this global empire and I had all these things going on. But I also am a full believer that the universe puts us exactly where we need to be when we need to be there. And for all the variety of reasons that have gotten me to where I am today, I've kept both. And I'm happy with both. And I get to wake up every day and do something I love with Jen's Trends. And I get to do something that I enjoy and that is stable and secure as a single mom with my day job. I don't have to worry about, am I going to pay rent next month? So it's just been a really good balance that has provided for my daughter and for me that it's not worth rocking the boat yet.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, so if someone's listening and let's say maybe they're in a similar situation, right? They have some sort of day job or, you know, full-time, part-time, mostly pays the bill job. And then they have like their small business that they're starting on the side. What would you tell them about the challenges that you faced and how you overcame those challenges so that if they're kind of in like a similar spot, they could take your long-standing advice?
My best advice is to be very open with your family. What is your plan? Is your side business your exit plan? Because mine has never really been my exit plan. Mine's always been a like maintain income plan. So, and let's just be clear, my side job makes more money than most people do in a year. It's not like it's over here making, you know, jump change. It's successful in its own right. But again, two income households in one person. But you need to be very open with your family, whether you have a spouse, whether you have children, whether you are taking care of your elderly parents. You need to have a very clear, open conversation about what your plan is. Why are you running the side business? Is it your exit plan? In 5 years, do you expect to be here so you can do this? Is it your, you know, hey, I'm a full-time mom. I want to build a business now so that when my kids go to school, I already have a business. So you just want to build momentum, but you know that you still need to be there for the kids 24 hours a day. You're probably making dinner and doing a lot of stuff for your spouse who's coming and going with, if they're the one you're working from home or working in an office, but they're the other primary income in the household. How are you still supporting them? These are conversations you need to have with yourself and with your family, because to do what you do now and add a successful business will be a time suck. And there will be times where you say, okay, Saturday morning, don't bug me until 10 a.m. And if you get up at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever it is, but you have your allocated time, but at 10 a.m. when that timer goes off, you're 100% family. You give them the rest of your day. Or do you do the, you know, I'm going to do this until 2 o'clock in the morning after the kids have gone to bed because, you know, you can take a nap when they've gone to school or however your schedules work. Like, you need to manage that and you have to be honest because it will cause so much frustration and disrespect on both sides of a relationship if you're not communicating this with your spouse or other family members.
That's stellar advice. And I'm guessing, does that happen with your clients for Jen's Trends too? Like, I'm assuming that you set those client expectations with them. Like, hey, I have a full-time job. These are the times when I check email. Like, give us a glimpse into what that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, I am very transparent, right? Like, most people that work with me, if they didn't know when they hired me, do know the moment we actually agree to work together. And most of my clients because of the consulting role that I do, I don't deal with clients in the full agency capacity, right? Like I'm not doing social media for them. I'm consulting on how they should execute for themselves. So we'll set that Zoom meeting, and whether we're doing a monthly or a quarterly meeting, we have those set times and I can say, this is when I'm available. And I give them my availability within my existing schedule. And sometimes that means we're doing it at 8 o'clock at night their time, you know, because that's when it works for both of us with my work schedule as well. So I'm very open. I'm very transparent about it. Most people know that I am not going to respond to email for at least 24 hours, sometimes 48, because it is one of those things. Like I'm probably at the day job. I can't just be like, I'm in the middle of a staff meeting. Yes, let me respond to you immediately. But again, I don't have to typically do immediate response communications because I'm not managing their content. They're not emailing me going, Jen, my ad went down, or, you know, Meta charged my credit card $3,000, go fix it. Right.
Which happens, by the way.
All the time. And that's why it was like, I chose to build a business where I could work as an agency, essentially, but where I could support others in a way that allowed me to do it within the confines of my day job. And for me, that was to be a consultant, not to be a regular, you know, like I said, I don't execute on anything for anybody.
You don't, but you were still really thoughtful. I mean, what I'm hearing you say, and I mean, I knew this, but what I'm hearing you say in this situation where you were being interviewed, not my friend from forever, you put a lot of thought into how you structured things.
Yes.
And I think that's important too, because so many of the people who I've interviewed have come on here and said, like, I jumped into it. It just kind of happened, kind of like you did, right? Like, so it happens fast. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I'm doing this thing. Yeah. So I think you have to take that time early on, if not before, right, to really be thoughtful like you did, because I really feel like that's the only reason, or one of the only reasons, why you have been so successful, because you put a lot of critical thinking into how to set this whole thing up.
Well, I had people for years, I've had everyone say, Jen, you need to run a membership. Jen, you need to run a membership. And I'm like, I have a full-time job. When am I going to run a membership? Do you know how much time goes into running a membership? Like, how am I going to do this? And so I never did it. I did run one for a little while, but it was a very small group. We had like 20 members. And then I ended up shutting that down because, again, it just, the world of Instagram changed. That the membership platform that I had, the way I'd laid it out, was no longer viable to how much information was out there in the world. And so I've had the membership now for over 2 years. I launched it post-COVID and I started planning it during COVID because I was like, okay, like now I'm home a lot more. I'm not in the office 4 days a week. So I can still work my day job hours, but I have more flexibility in not being tied into an office the entire day. So that was what was the motivation to launch Profit Your Profile, which is my membership community. But I was so intentional about it. Like it really was. I'm like, okay, like I have members from Australia, from London, from New York, from San Diego. Like, how do I put something on a calendar that everyone can attend? Right? How can I create content in a way that they're going to get it of value to them? It's not overwhelming. It's not too frequent, too infrequent. And I spent months mapping out what that membership would look like because I wanted it to be something that I would want to join, but that I could manage within the constraints of my life as well. And that was a big puzzle to map it all up, but it works well. It ended up working out great. And we're, you know, the members love it and we alternate our times. So sometimes we meet at 5 o'clock at night, sometimes we meet at 10 o'clock in the morning, but it allows people in different time zones to always be able to tune in for something.
Yeah. I just think, again, it's like you did that with so much intention and thought and planning, like you said, months of planning. And that's part of what made it so successful. So let's switch gears a little bit. And I'm curious, and you can share whatever you're comfortable sharing, but I'm curious about the financial aspects of having a full-time job and having Jen's Trends. Does that money stay separate? Does it all happen in one account? Like, and again, only share what you're comfortable with, but this is something I'm sure people might have a question about, like, how does that work and taxes and all that stuff?
For years, I did not have an LLC. For years, I was just Jen's Trends and everything was like, if I was a 1099 for a speaking event or for consulting work, everything went to my social security number. Everything was paid to me. So everything went into one bank account and all my taxes were filed as, you know, one person with just multiple sources of income. And probably not the smartest thing to have done. I never got in a situation where it was a risk. But again, I'm not personally promising results to a client, right? I'm consulting. If I was actually managing their media for them and doing things, you want a lot more legal protection because you don't want someone coming after you personally because they're not happy with the results you got for them. Then they don't feel like you held up your end of an agreement and that sort of stuff. So it took me longer than I probably should have, but I finally did go to an LLC and everything is separate. In the end, I still technically taxes are still sort of combined because I'm an LLC, not an S corp or a C corp, but I have a separate bank account. I have separate cards. I have separate transactions. I have a separate PayPal account. I have a separate Venmo account, like so that everything for the business runs through the business. I don't have those transactions coming through my personal transactions. You know, I bought a laptop last year. I needed a new laptop. And I was like, oh, I could put it on my Best Buy credit card and get all these perks and bonuses, but then it's a personal transaction. And I was like, no, this has to be a business transaction. Put it on the business card. It's fine. And so it is being very cognizant of those things. And it has made taxes so much easier. I've also hired a tax person because I got to a stage in my life where I was like, hail to the no. I was like, I will not do this anymore. I was like, I don't remember how many years. It was like 3 years ago, I think, when I was still doing them myself. And there was one stupid box on the online taxes that it would not accept it. I literally had like H&R Block tax people going, oh, that's weird. Like it was a funky situation that took days to fix this one box to file my taxes. And I was like, never again. I'm at a stage of my career and of my life that I cannot spend days trying to do my taxes. This is too much. And so that was a big step, was finding the right CPA that could go through. And they consult me every year. They look at in October, November, we go and look at my entire year. What does the rest of the year look like? Do we expect anything unusual to happen? What is next year projecting to look like? So we can make the best decisions for this year financially. And all of that was a big step because that's one thing. I'm like, I can do basic bookkeeping. Fine. I can put it in my QuickBooks and say, reconcile this, but I'm not a bookkeeper. And to have that off my plate and allow myself to just look at the finances and then say someone else can make them actually make sense is great.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's so important to, in my situation and eventually in your situation, have someone else take care of that stuff for you. I'm just not a numbers person, period. Like previous to owning B Squared, I had always done I'd gone to like an H&R Block, but that's so simple, right? Because you have the one job and you get your pay stubs. Once you start getting into all of this other weird stuff and like you said, speaking comes into it. And then when you're speaking, it's you and it's not necessarily the company.
Yep.
And, you know, I teach a couple of classes and that's me, but I run it through the company. Yeah. So I think the overall advice there is just as soon as you can hire someone to do the money part for you, unless you live in that world. Great. Fine.
Right. Wonderful. Yeah. Unless that's your specialty, and get an LLC at the minimum. Yeah. Get yourself an LLC and protect yourself legally so that you are a separate entity. And that was something someone told me years ago is now when I do my live show every Sunday and I'm always, this is Jen Herman with Jen's Trends. It's not I'm your host, Jen Herman. It's I'm your host, Jen Herman with Jen's Trends. So that if anybody comes back and says, I heard this on your show, I can put it under the LLC liability. It's not me giving advice. It's the company giving the advice.
So smart. Also legal. Very other important thing to make sure you've got your T's crossed and your I's dotted. Let's go back to the person who's listening or watching and is doing what you're doing, right? Obviously, and probably not to your scale, but they're working at their day job. They've got this, you know, side business. It's happening. Things are bubbling, right? What's that one piece of critical advice you would give this person in that situation?
I would say stick with what you're passionate about. So if you are going to run a side business, it is going to consume you. It's going to cause ripples in your relationships with friends, family, spouses, children. If you are not passionate about it, it is not worth it. If you are going to put in that time, if you're going to do this for 11 years where you do both of them, you have to be passionate about at least one of them. So follow your passion. If you are starting a side business because, you know, you saw a TikTok video that said if you become an Amazon affiliate, you're going to make $5,000 a month. Great. Go be an Amazon affiliate. If it's not making you $5,000 a month, then you're not passionate about it. Let's find something else to do. I was actually just thinking about this today where like you take someone like Jay Baer, who in his own right is a massively successful genius marketer, wonderful, but he chose a passion project. He's now doing tequila. And granted, he had a huge platform to market himself as a tequila expert to build a brand from nowhere, but he does this as a passion and he's built it into a massively successful business in its own right, being a tequila taster. But if there's something you're passionate about, if you love to knit, if you love photography, if you love, you know, Mike Alton always uses the example of box turtles. If you want to breed box turtles, like whatever it is that makes you happy and lights you up, choose that. If your side hustle is not something you're passionate about, don't keep killing yourself to build something on top of the day job just because you think it can make you money or that someone told you it can. If you're not passionate, it's never going to make you the money. And even if it does, you're not going to be happy doing it. So chase your passions.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I love that. And by the way, I would totally love to do something with box turtles. Any animal, really, as a side job would be so much fun. And I think, again, you've hit on another point. It's you kind of have like the left brain and the right brain. The right brain was like the passion. You really, really love what you do. And I think it shows and it shows in how you show up and how you present on stage. But at the same time, you brought in that left brain and you did all of that critical thinking and all of that planning. And so it's really kind of you kind of have to be a unicorn, Jen, to do what you do.
It's not for everybody. I'm not going to lie. It is not for everybody.
Not for most people, I would say. Yeah.
It is. And it is a challenge, right? Like, and I'm a manifesting generator. If you believe in human design and you've done any research on it, I'm a manifesting generator, which basically means if I set my mind to something, get out of the way because it's going to happen. I'm going to make that happen. And so I have that inherently in me. Not everyone has that inherently in them. That doesn't mean that you can't be a projector or a generator or other types of human design components and still do what I do. But what I do is not for everybody. And that is plain factual realities. Most people would not do both massively successful business career choices for this long. You would eventually leave one and go to the other, or you would drop one and just focus on this. But again, this is what works for me and it's what makes me happy. It's what brings me stability. And as much as if I know somebody and know them, I will be happy to give sometimes unsolicited advice, but you really have to like stop and look at what works for you. And you can't be like, oh, well, Jen Herman said she did this for 11 years. I can do it too. No, like if you physically can't do both for more than 2 years, then plan around the fact that you're going to do this for 2 years. If you want to go get your degree and that's going to take 3 years, you're like, okay, I'm going to make the sacrifice. I'm going to commit to doing my master's degree and I'm going to get there. Think of your side business like that. This is your commitment. You're going to do it for this period of time. And then there needs to be reward at the end, whether it's quitting the day job or taking everything you learned as your side business and incorporating that into a new day job and leaving that one and going someplace with more money where you can take the brand that you've created with you or something like that.
Super savvy advice. I knew it would be. And we should also just probably put another disclaimer. I'm going to try not to get my giggle box going here. Another disclaimer on this show could be like, do not try to attempt these things. This is a trained professional.
Right? Because trained honestly, professional, closed course, do not attempt at home.
Yes. Yes. I saw one on Instagram where there was a lady like swimming with sharks and telling you what to do if there was a shark in the water. I'm like, oh, besides like have a heart attack and drown right then and there in the water. And then at the bottom of the video of her like pushing away this giant bull shark, it was like, I'm a professional shark diver. Do not try this or something like that. I'm thinking of you like, do not try this at home. Obviously, I love all of the things that you do and I know where you are. But for those people who may not know you yet, What are you working on? Where can they find you? How can they connect with you? All of those amazing things.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much everywhere as Jen's Trends, J-E-N-N-S underscore trends on almost all social media handles. JensTrends.com, again, J-E-N-N-S, Trends. It's always two N's in Jen, because I'm an 80s baby, and all the other Jennifers in the world. But yeah, so my passion is my membership, Profit Your Profile. So you can find out more about that if you go to JensTrends.com or go to ProfitYourProfile.com. And that is a membership community dedicated to Instagram marketing, but it's all marketing. Like in February, we have a guest expert coming in as a YouTube expert. We've had legal experts come in. We have copywriting experts come in. We've had website experts come in to help with your marketing all around. And it's great because it's kind of like this. I get to learn from other people from my own business and share with the members. I teach the Instagram component of it in the membership as well. So if you're not, you know, totally committed to where you're at in your Instagram strategy, check out ProfitYourProfile.com.
Yes. And I know that you have so many wonderful reviews about what you do in that membership. And again, y'all, she just said like how much of thought and time went into the membership. So I'm sure it's wonderful. Follow Jen there. Jen, it's been so good to talk to you. And side note, I get to see you in a few weeks at Social Media Marketing World. I'll be in San Diego. That's where Jen lives. And I will see her in real life. Woo! All right.
So excited.
Thank you for everything. You've been wonderful.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you're new to the show, be sure to follow us. If you've been a longtime listener, let your friends know about the show. I'm at Brooke Sellis on Instagram and Twitter. And for fun, make sure you tag at SM Examiner. Also, be sure to check out our other shows, the Social Media Marketing Podcast and the Social Media Marketing Talk Show. This brings us to the end of this week's Marketing Agency Show. We'll catch you next week as we explore the adventures of marketing agency life.
The Marketing Agency Show is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Want more good stuff? Sign up for our top-notch social marketing newsletter. We deliver it straight into your inbox 3 days a week. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.